Before we begin, we would like to acknowledge that we are recording this podcast on Gadigal land and pay our respects to elders past and present. Hey, I'm Lucille McCart.
And I'm Chantelle Otten.
Welcome back to Give Me a Buzz. We're from Bumble and we're inviting you to join us for a deep dive into the world of modern dating and relationships.
Whether you're a seasoned swiper or just sipping your toes into the dating pool, we are here to give you the inspiration, education, and tips you need to get excited about dating and thrive.
This week, we're joined by Kath Ebbs. Kath is a podcaster, influencer, and queer artist. They're joining us today to answer all of your questions about ethical non-monogamy and dating as a queer person. Welcome, Kath.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So we start every episode by asking every guest the same question, which is, when is a time in your life that you've made the first move?
Oh my God, this is actually so funny because I feel like...
Why am I already laughing?
I know.
Literally on my... I know it's gonna be good. About this actually on my own podcast. So I'm actually notoriously someone that makes a first move, and I've actually decided recently that I'm in my baby era and I'm in my not making the first move era.
You're taking a break.
And I've been talking about it a lot because I feel like always with dating, I think my personality, like I would say I'm quite a front-footed person. I also just like... I just hate when things like people don't name things. I'm like, I like you, or like, you want a kiss? Like, do you want, like, I don't know. I feel like I guess you're assertive. Yeah, I'm assertive.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't have time to waste. I'm going.
No, you're
busy. This is
busy.
The thing. You know, let's move on next.
Like, you've got things to do, people to see. Absolutely. Yeah.
But I'm recently single and I'm going. I'm in my baby era. I'm not making the first move. I refuse. At a protest, I'm not doing it.
You bring nothing to the table.
Yeah, I don't have a personality at this point.
I'm going. Swaddle me. Tell me what to do.
No, literally, I mean, even the other day I was like flirting with this person and in my head, all my friends were like, oh my God, like vibes, like slip your number. And I was like, so true. And then I went, no. And my friends were like, why? And I was like, no. I'm not interested. They can give me their number if they don't, not my type right now.
La, 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 fingers in the ear. Absolutely.
I'm in a phase of my life where people make the first move on me.
Yes.
Period. That's literally, I'm in my baby era.
And they do all of the above. Yeah,
but no one's making the move, so we'll see how long this era
That's the problem when you're in your baby era. It's like, are other people in there like giving, like, era, like, because I think we're all naturally givers.
Yes,
we need to learn how to like receive, how to want. It's a very uncomfortable thing to learn how to do.
Yeah, and I think that's because I have quite like a big personality, so I think also people just like assume
that you'll do the work.
So I'm gonna have to, so I'm like, I think I need to like be.
Do less.
I need to like not have a personality for a bit.
Yeah. Just chill out for a, you know, just tone it down for a couple of weeks.
No, you're going to be cute.
I'm just not anything.
Oh, man. So tired.
But it's good. I wish I knew where to get the first move. If the time really calls for it, you're capable of it. But for now, let them come to you.
Just see what happens.
Yeah, be my bottom era.
You know what? I'm in a relationship and I'm in the I bring nothing to the table era.
Yeah, great.
Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Except hotness. I mean, I can bring cuteness and hotness.
I know. I'm like, I just want to be hot.
What do you need?
Like, I mean,
and you are mission accomplished.
Yeah.
Okay, but all right. We need to bring it back because we could ramble forever.
I can feel the energy in the room.
We're here to talk about ethical non-monogamy, and we're talking to you about it because A, you're practicing, B, we want to learn about your dating journey to this place as well. So can you, now you're in your baby era, can you tell us a little bit about prior
can
that?
Can we go back to
your dating history and how you started exploring?
Rewind.
Chimes play. So my dating history was I was in a monogamous heterosexual relationship from the ages of like 19 to like 21, and then finally like came out.
Slay.
It was a slay.
Yes.
And it just kind of piqued my interest. Honestly, the first time I'd ever heard about someone being non-monogamous or poly was actually my brother. Him and his partner at the time were polyamorous, and it piqued my interest. just because I was like, that's wild to me, like at the time, asked a lot of questions. And I think I was like, oh, like that makes sense to me. Like at the time I was like, I don't think that's for me, but like that makes a lot of sense to me. And I definitely felt like I had judgment before that. And then it was through listening and learning and seeing other people that were in non-monogamous relationships. And I was also, I fell in love quite quickly when I came out, but I also wanted to allow myself to kind of like explore more, because prior to coming out, although I had a boyfriend for a bit, I was very like obviously closeted, which also meant like sexually and just romantically and
hadn't
like
really explored.
Even just personality wise, honestly, was really quite like oppressed in myself and like just wasn't really myself in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to be able to kind of like have that and like be flirty and be like open and like just like allow my flirty side and my sexual side and my sensual side to kind of blossom. But I also had like fallen in love with this person. And so for a while it was like this like tug of war of like, what do I do? And then I remember having a discussion with this, my like now ex, being like, well, can we like try like,
it doesn't have to be one or the other.
Yeah. And like, lucky for me, they were like, sure. And
you ever can have it all.
And I haven't been monogamous since, and that was when I was like 21, so it was 5 years ago.
That's so wild. Yeah. Because I think so many people listening to this podcast episode will be like, okay, we want the tips, we want the tricks, and we should go on to that a little bit later on how to have those conversations. But maybe we need to talk about like actually dating.
Yeah, I'm going to ask some dating app related questions, something different.
Yeah.
What I'm really interested in is if you are like actively dating as a A&M person.
On Bumble.
Obviously.
How do you,
Don't be stupid.
The only option. Where else would you go?
Yeah.
Like how do you address that on your, like what do you think is the way to go about it on the apps? And what are your, as a person that's practicing that, what are your responsibilities to the people that you are dating in terms of what you communicate, your boundaries, your rules, your this, that, which is going to be different for every person and every relationship. But if you're, you know, jumping on Bumble to like find a date or another relationship, how do you go about that?
Yeah, it's interesting. On like, I feel like on dating apps, it's like if you just like at the moment, I'm probably in like I've just gotten out of a big relationship. So I'm just like dating, you know what I mean? And like, I feel like on Bumble, like I'm very like, just like, I'm dating, it's casual, you know, so I don't really address the ethical.
You don't need to disclose.
No,
that,
because I'm like, I'm not looking for a relationship right now.
Yeah, okay, true.
But if I, like when I have been, or if that was to change, which I'm sure it eventually will once I've like grieved a breakup, I would just put it like on my profile as like a preference. Or I also think another tactic is just like, you don't have to do that. Cause I think like there's kind of like, for me, like my like dating app profile is more just like being fun and silly and like a bit, you know, so it might.
Getting a date.
Yeah, like getting a date. I'm like, yeah. I'm like cute, somewhere. Cute and fun and hot and silly.
I have no money.
Yeah. I have no money. I don't know anything. I was going on a date. And then it's like, so yeah, I usually would just like be fun, silly on my profile because I'm like,
yeah.
Being like, hi guys. And then if a chat happens and the chat is vibey and I'm like into the person, or like a date happens and you're like, oh, I think I like this person, then it's something that like will come up. That's how it's worked in the past for me.
Okay, so I have a thought around this, and it's to do with gender and orientation. You're non-binary and you're queer. Do you think that because of who you are, you're attracting people who might also, because in the gender non-conforming and also in like the non-binary area, it is more open in terms of discussing non-monogamy. Mm-hmm. Do you think that it's just natural for it to go that way, that you are attracting people who have those preferences as well? Because I think for cis hetero people, which I'm not, but I guess like I look
I'm representing the
minority.
The straight,
cisgender
people.
I look it.
Yes, happy to represent. Yeah.
I think it's like what you put out maybe is what you also attract a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that definitely in certain communities or certain bubbles that we all operate in, there's like different levels of awareness, openness, curiosity.
Totally. I think Yeah. I mean, obviously, like, on dating apps, I, like, date queer people. And I think it's just something that is quite common. Like, it's still something that needs to be, like, named because a lot of queer people are monogamous.
Mm. So, there, you know, might be some more variation.
But I think more so it's, like, it's not uncommon. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's, like, the person's not like, whoa, like, that's crazy. They're like, oh, okay. Yeah. Either, like, so am I, or I'm open to that, or I have been in the past, or... Great for you, not for me. I'm monogamous.
They're not going to be like, what is that?
What do you mean? Yeah. Like, I think it's just more of a common, like, discussion. And, like, there's a lot of people that are doing ethical non-monogamy, as well as there's a lot of people that are monogamous. But it's so, like, those conversations and that, like, diverse range of, like, how people do relationships is such an open thing within community that, like, it's not, like... It doesn't feel like, I'm not like, oh my God, it's like this big secret. I got to tell them. It's just like saying like, oh, I like the color yellow. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
And I guess once you are like in the E&M community, it's actually like, and you feel confident in your place within that community, it's so much easier to just be like, yeah, these are my preferences. When you do start getting to know one, that you go, I'm going to go the extra mile. It's not just a few dates. Yeah. It's like, maybe we'll pursue something. It's easier than to go, hey, I didn't bring it up at the start because we were just going on a few dates.
Yeah.
Being a baby. Now we like each other, or I like you. I have to tell you, these are my preferences.
Yeah. And that's usually my approach. Like, it's not a thing until like, it's like if with my ex, it was like the second date. I was like, hey, like, because I was like, this is a vibe with this person.
Yeah.
Like, proper vibe. And so, yeah, it's like second date. I was like, hey, letting you know, like, this is what I prefer. And also, like, I'm like the kind of person that, like, I'm super, like, I always just want to make sure that, like, people I date or, like, I'm in a relationship with feel, like, safe and feel, like, accounted for and, yeah, feel good. And so, like, it's not for me, the way I approach, like, non-monogamy is, like, very much, like, that person is a priority. And so it also, like, can change and, like, you know what I mean? It's not like this finite, like, thing that's like, this is what I must do. And, like, you know,
it's fluid in the sense that it changes and it will be one thing one day and might be something different the next day.
But
and
also, like, you can't trust everyone that you just meet on a dating app. Like, when you put that information, I'm not saying you don't have to put on your dating profile that, like, you don't have to not say that you're in the community, but you also don't have to say it.
There's definitely no obligation to disclose everything about yourself to someone on a first date or before then. I think the difference is if you are in a relationship and you're dating outside your relationship,
the person you're going on a date with has the right to know that.
But if you're single,
if you're looking for a third, you put that on the profile.
I want to know before I've got a prosecco in my hand and you're letting me know there's two bodies involved, wasting my time, or someone waiting in the car out the front.
Yeah. No, so true.
I think it's two very different things, right? Someone who is open to E&M as a single person, there's no need for you to disclose that until you feel like you are ready to. But if you are in a situation where you're in a relationship and you're both dating outside of that, casually or seriously, wherever it might be, I think that is where the people that you're going on dates with should be informed.
Totally.
And so like that they are aware of what they're getting themselves into.
100%. Like, in the few times I have, like, done apps in a relationship, it's like the first thing on the profile.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in a, like, relationship, but I'm not monogamous.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and sure. I'm not poly. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not looking for another partner. I'm looking to just, like, date and be silly.
Well, this brings me perfectly into my next question, which is sort of, how do you define the difference between E&M and poly?
Polyamory is, like, when you have multiple partners. People do, obviously, there's, like, rules or systems within polyamory, like, depending on the person and their structure that they choose. But, like, overall, it's, like, you have multiple partners, multiple people that you are in a relationship with or not, but, like, you know, you can have two partners or however many, whatever your system is. Or also people sometimes, like, you know, like, also date, like, throuples. Like, that's a form of polyamory where you, like, everyone's dating each other. But
it sits under ethical non-monogamy.
It does.
So E&M is, like, the title, and then underneath we have, like, multiple different structures, and polyamory is one of them. You can also have, like, don't ask, don't tell. You can have swingers. You can have, like, multiple different ways of dating.
It's interesting because I think a lot of the research that's, like, coming out is almost exploring E&M as though it's this, like, new phenomenon. But it it really
it's
like
so funny when people
say yeah, yeah. Like I'm have like, you heard of me?
Monogamy's kind of new.
You're like, what type? And they're like, oh.
They're like, do you want to talk about capitalism? Because yeah. We can get down to what happened. Like, yeah.
Put your keys in the fishbowl yeah. At the parties our parents and our grandparents were going to when they were younger. You know, it's like not new, but why do you think it feels new?
Because we're having, it's the age of like, honestly, it's like the positive stuff to come out of. I know like social media and like, you know, has its negatives and we talk about that. But like, I also think the positives of the new age of like social media means more diverse voices in the media and also just people having open conversations about how they do things and people like listening and learning. And I think it's honestly just been because more people are talking about it. We have the internet, so like you've got people that are like talking about different types of relationships and like, you know, people in like sex therapists and like that have pages dedicated to like educating people on these are different ways that these are different kinds of sexualities. This is different kinds of like ways we like to have sex. This is a different way people like to do relationships. Like it's just like open public conversations. I personally think that are happening. That means that it feels like it's like, oh my God, it's like this new thing. And it's like, no, I think it's just people are talking access. About it more and the conversations are public. And therefore then other people that may have not even known that to be an option in their life are hearing and going, oh, that actually kind of works for me. And then they're doing it. When before, like if you don't know something's an option, then you're not gonna know. You're not gonna do it.
Yeah, like, totally. But it's also like people will say that they are like non-monogamous, but they actually don't know how to navigate that. They just don't want to invest or commit to anyone.
Which is not non-monogamy.
You got to be a good communicator.
You're just afraid of commitment.
Yeah, and there's a lot of like non-ethical non-monogamy that goes on. Like a lot.
Bit
like,
of dropping the E out of the...
And people use it as like also a band-aid in relationships that instead of actually like, I don't know, going to a therapist or like being like, we don't want to be together anymore. Like... Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like a lot of people use like non-monogamy as a way to like do some non-ethical things.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
I mean, I've
you can cheat when you're non-monogamous.
I've been cheated on in an open relationship. I've had a partner have an affair in an open relationship. And it's really interesting as well. I remember at the time people would be like, oh, but you were open. And it was like, oh no, that's not how this works. Like, you can still be cheated on.
That's not the structure with
we agree. It's not free for all. There's rules here. Yeah.
This is a question I have for both of you, which is for people that might be thinking about exploring this within a current relationship. What signs do you see, Shanti, that because it's not going to be right for everyone, right? So what's a green flag sign for someone when they're exploring it, and what is more of a sign that maybe you're trying to use it to fix a relationship that could, like you said, Kath, be better fixed through therapy or, you know, breaking up?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd say look at the state of your relationship. Like what's motivating you to want to do it? You got to be really real with yourself. If you're in a monogamous relationship, I personally, also I'm not a professional. Just a guy with feelings. Yeah. Like I would always say, like, what's the state of your relationship? What's your motivation? You got to get really real with yourself around, like, what is the motivation for us wanting to do this? And do both parties equally think this is a fun, great thing to do?
And don't rush the answer. I think a lot of people, like, especially when you're going through a bit of turbulence or you're like, okay, we need to either level up or, like, get out, like that's kind of our two options here. Mm-hmm. We both need to change and grow, or we need to separate and go separate ways. If we choose to grow together and we want to be, you know, non-monogamous, how are we going to do that with the idea in mind that we are still going to be together at the end of like whatever journeys that we go on? Mm-hmm. So, and that can be around like exploring what your options are too, because I think some people will go, all right, well, we're open. And then they'll just be like, hang on, my partner's running out like all over town, like just trying to fuck people. And that's like, that's also not hot.
They've gone out the next day. Like,
you're like, bah! Yeah, like
club, just you're like, okay,
it's embarrassing.
Down. Like, not like no like level of care either. Yeah, like there's no like, I think people have like a warped view, I think, of what non-monogamy
actually is. Yeah. And that's why a lot of people will try being non-monogamous when they started out monogamous. They'll try it and they go so crazy sometimes, or they just don't do it in the most respectful way, not only to themselves, but to their partner. And it'll just unravel. Like everything will unravel, because once you step over the line too far, it's very hard to come back from sometimes.
Mm-hmm. I also think it's like why it's so important to look at the state of your relationship, because I notice that people that use it as a band-aid, it ends up kind of just completely, and usually like sometimes a toxic way, like amplifying anything that was there. And it's also that thing of like what you said, like don't rush it. It's like if you genuinely want to explore for the first time non-monogamy in like from being in a monogamous relationship, like also maybe go to a therapist, go to a sex therapist and have a discussion. Like, we're thinking about doing this. Can you help us navigate it?
It's probably something you should be doing anyway in a relationship to make sure that you're communicating well. And I think that what is challenging is that no matter what boundaries or rules you put in place, in theory, in practice, they're going to be difficult to navigate because you're dealing with human beings. Mm. So you need to have that like really strong foundation of communication to be able to like negotiate that as you go, because whatever you agree between the two of you, when you then add other people outside your relationship into the mix, you just can't always predict how you're going to feel, how they're going to feel, how your partner's going to feel. Mm-hmm. So you really do have to have a really high degree of emotional maturity to navigate
100% that. 100% and communicate and allow things to change. Like I think a lot of people get into trouble where they like go, okay, we're going to do this. These are the rules. And then someone acts like a human being, not a robot.
Yeah.
And has uncomfortable feelings or is triggered or whatever it is. And the person gets mad because they're like, well, you said this was okay. And it's like, okay, unless the person is obviously attacking you, even though you haven't done anything wrong, there still needs to be a level of care of like, this person's also allowed to like experience the thing and go, now that the thing is happening, I'm emotionally like not okay.
Yeah.
Can we have a discussion about it, or can we close the relationship? Or I think a lot of the time, yeah, people forget that like someone can intellectually understand something and desire something and want something, but when it's like in practice, it might not feel good.
This brings me into another question I was going to ask about jealousy, because I think that is...
It's always the golden question.
Yeah, like that's always the question.
It's always the question.
Because I think like when most people who haven't explored A&M think about it, like I'll get jealous or my partner will be jealous is like kind of like the most basic question, is like how to navigate that.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like you just said, you might think that you won't get jealous and then you do, or you might think that you will get jealous and then you find yourself not actually being that jealous and not knowing what that means either. So when it comes to like dealing with jealousy and deciding what your boundaries are, how is that something that you've navigated or seen navigated?
The jealousy thing comes up like a lot, and I think it's really interesting. I think people think that people that explore are non-monogamous like don't get jealous.
Mm.
Like I would just get jealous. I'm like, you think I don't get jealous? Again, human being, not robot.
Yeah.
I get jealous. It's what I decide to do with that information.
And how you perceive jealousy. Jealousy is not an unhealthy emotion.
It's not unhealthy. It shows that like I care and like I have an ego of some sort, which we all do.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it's more the way that I like view jealousy and the ideas that I wanna and have explored in this life when it comes to like human emotion and connection and relationships and like intimacy and different types of relationships. And I also think too, I have definitely the idea of like if this person is gonna leave me, if they're gonna side eye, if they're gonna fall in love with someone else or whatever, like that is a possibility with or without non-monogamy. And if anything, the way that I like to just be in life in general is like open communication, like be able to talk about things, like be able to acknowledge that human beings are like flawed and driven by desire a lot of the time. And a lot of the time we end up hurting people when we actually just don't communicate because it's wrong and it's too scary. But like I even remember when an ex of mine did cheat or have an affair, my issue wasn't with the like affair. It was like, why didn't you tell me that this was like you were struggling with other feelings for someone else?
Yeah.
Although that would have hurt me because like wish it was me.
Mm.
That's not my problem. My problem is like the secrecy of not feeling like you can be open enough to just be your full self and like have that full human experience and like communicate what you're going through. So I think for me, like the jealousy thing is just something that I've like deeply interrogated and explored. And that was honestly the step one to deciding to be non-monogamous. I was like, yeah, I need to interrogate my thoughts around jealousy and like what that means if I want to be able to do this in a way that feels like good.
Jealousy occurs in monogamous relationships.
Occurs all the time.
Yeah, it's not like it's something that is different. But maybe could you explain for anyone that's listening what you mean when you say cheating in a relationship?
Yeah, rules and boundaries stuff. It's like cheating is like a form of betrayal.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble, which, might I add, has had the glow up to end all glow ups. But there's one new feature on the all new Bumble that we have to talk about, and that's opening moves. Bumble is all about empowering women to make the first move, but they also understand that initiating conversation can actually be a bit daunting. Enter opening moves. This new feature allows you to send an opening question, which can be something you've written yourself, like, what's the best dinner you have had this week? Or what's something you've never told another Bumble match? Or you can choose from one of Bumble's suggestions. Then just sit back and watch as your matches woo you with their replies. Make the first move on your own terms and a little more easily with the all new opening moves feature. Download the Bumble app today from the App Store or Google Play.
I feel like I always say that word wrong.
Betrayal.
You said it right.
Did I say it right?
Yeah.
Right. So like obviously if you're in a non-monogamous relationship there, you establish your own rules, you know, whatever they are for each person. And when someone like steps over those rules or goes outside the bounds of like what you've decided and agreed on together, like that is a form of betrayal and cheating in some cases. Like for example, like the easiest example would be like if you've said like, our policy is that we communicate, we talk to the person like, hey, I'm interested in like sleeping with this person. Is that okay for you? Yep, that's okay. That's cool. Like da da da. And like, that's your policy. And then, you know, you go out and you don't tell them.
Yeah.
Then that's a form of
cheating. Like some people will have like no more than a certain number of dates with the same person or like no sleepovers. So it's like everyone's rules or boundaries are different. And when you violate those, like cheating isn't just
or don't sleep with a friend.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Yep.
Like, you know, it can't be someone we both know. Like there's lots of different rules that will look different in every relationship. But
and also I'm not poly. So like if a partner is like falling in love with someone else and doesn't tell me, then it's like that's why there's different structures. It's like I'm not polyamorous.
That's not what
I'm
we
open.
Said we
so
were
like that's
do.
Not the agreement. Yeah. Like, you know.
Do you think that you like fall a little bit in love though with people that you are sleeping with?
Because I fall in love with everyone.
Yeah, so I really feel like that's a fine rule. That's a good rule.
Yeah.
It's more you will get feelings. You will catch feelings. Some people will catch feelings, but it's the communication around that. Say for example, you're sleeping with someone and they say, I feel like I'm falling in love with you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, you know what? I care for you too and I adore you, but I'm not your person and I can't be your person. That's staying within the boundaries of your relationship because you're saying, I get that you're feeling that way and I really care about your feelings and I also care for you a lot, but I'm not falling in love with you, nor will I be in love with you because I have a partner already and I'm going to stick with that partner.
Yep.
That would be within staying
in the rules. So it's like, are you communicating to the people you're dating what you are and aren't available for? But I think the feelings thing is hard to navigate because that isn't something that you really have control over. Like you can try and have control over it by like not too many repeat dates, not too many sleepovers, but ultimately, it's not something whether or not you.
But I also feel like that, like I said, like that just happens. Even in monogamous relationships, like you hear it all the time.
If your partner goes out into the world,
you have crushes, and like I mean, a lot of the time, like affairs are born out of secrecy and out of feeling like I want the thing and I can't have it. You know what I mean? Like I don't think that's just like. I think people like think that it's like, oh, you're sleeping with someone and then like in non-monogamy, you're just going to fall in love with all these people. It's like, that is a risk, period. Like you could be with someone and be like, this person's the love of my life. And then you randomly go to some event and you bump into someone and you end up in the corner in a chat and you're like, whoa, this is crazy. What do I do with it? Like that shit happens all the time.
I mean, you see it all the time on Love Island.
They think
they're locked in and then someone else
walks in
comes
and
they go right in and just blows it all up.
Yeah.
I think it's really healthy for everyone to like break down their beliefs and understanding about
what
relationship structures and like what it means. Because I think whenever there's like any kind of rule about dating or relationships or gender or sexuality or any of these things that there's so much like social structure built around, it's really healthy practice to like break down like who made that rule and like also who benefits from it. Because usually it's usually not me as a woman or like you as a non-binary person. It's usually built by the patriarchy to keep you locked into some sort of, you know, capitalist structure. So it's really healthy for people to break down their perceived rules around.
Even if they are monogamous.
Yeah.
Like make a, like my thing is like making conscious decisions about like, and also I'm not saying I'd never be monogamous again. Like I, and also like respect monogamy. There's people that go down that rabbit hole, think about all their options, learn, and then they go, monogamy is actually what feels good for me.
Yeah. I think
like,
that's really healthy.
Just being like,
Because you might get to that conclusion that, you know, actually I am straight, actually I am monogamous, actually I am super boring, you know, whatever it might be.
No.
But like it's healthy to have that curiosity because I think if you don't have that, that's when you can find yourself like later in life maybe wanting to explore something or feeling like you never like really understood yourself.
I think it's also like important though, like if you feel like you want to stray from your relationship or if you're in an open relationship and you have someone that you're invested in for a period or for a night, whatever, you have to think, do I put that same amount of energy into my primary relationship now? Mm-hmm. And if you're cheating, which also happens, I'm also like, I'm a therapist. It's a judgment-free zone for me because I'm here to help people break down why are they here? Where is this coming from? What's going on within themselves that they're stepping outside? Because usually it's nothing to do with the partner. It's all about them.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time it's like, can you put that energy back into yourself and your primary relationship? And maybe that will also improve things a lot more, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you have a lifestyle that is non-monogamous, depending on whatever your structure is, you have to always think like, what are my motivations and how much care am I giving myself, my partner, and then the person who's on the outside? Because that person is not the most important person here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's where people go wrong. I think they think it's like a free-for-all. Also, a lot of people choose monogamy because it's easier. Like it actually is, it's less energy, it's less time. I mean, it's difficult in other ways, but like for me, it was more just an exploration of like, what is intimacy to me? What is love to me? What are relationships to me? How, what do I think about things like jealousy and ownership over others and all of that? And when I broke that down, this is the decision that I came to. And it doesn't feel like this like label, like, you know, I am a non-monogamous person. It's like, this is just a way that I view like intimacy and love and different textures of relationships and wanting to explore, you know, having a moment with someone compared to, you know, building a life with someone. I think there's a difference between like life stories and love stories and like friendships and like, I'm just like, that's what I'm interested in. And that's why I choose to live this way. I think a lot of people want to do non-monogamy or polyamory without doing like the internal work to be able to get to a place, to be able to cope with that or cope with another person's.
And I think that probably comes back to like the primary relationship and like how healthy that is. Mm-hmm. Because if you're getting into A&M to solve a problem, you're probably not doing any of that like internal reflective work. Ultimately, on paper, you can make all of these rules, but you're human, your partner's human, the other people that you're bringing into your relationship are human. So none of it is going to go according to whatever plan or vision you might have in your head. So you do need to have like a strong foundation and communication skills to be able to navigate that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And also like non-monogamy is not just about sex, right?
Like not at all. Like people think, honestly think that I'm like this super like sexual, like I honestly like in the last relationship I was in, which was open, like I only like went outside of it, I think like once. Like I'm a sucker for a dance floor kiss. That's actually my ministry. I'm like, literally like why I'm not monogamous. Like, I just want to kiss people all the time.
You're like, I think I would have a dance floor passion.
Literally. So that's literally my ministry. But like, I think I slept with someone outside of the relationship, not think, I know, once. So it's like, I think people think like, oh, people that are non-monogamous like having sex all the time. And like, I'm like, babes, no. Like not at all. Like I honestly, I don't really act on it a lot.
And that's why people think that people who are monogamous have to be having sex. They're always like, if you're not having sex, then why are you together? And that's the point. You can love someone and not desire someone or desire sex in general.
Also, I wonder if there's some kind of connection between not being allowed to have sex with people outside your relationship, increasing your desire do that.
Yeah.
Whereas once you change the rules and you're like, okay, well, if you want to go and like sleep with that person, you can.
I'm like,
it's like, oh, well,
I'd rather just go home.
Too tired.
I know. It is interesting. Like, I think people, like, genuinely, like, think that sometimes, like, oh, it's, like, a sex drive thing. And I'm, like, I don't have a high sex drive. It's not why I do it. It's because of the way that I've, like, unpacked and interrogated the way that I view relationships. I mean, some people, it is a sex drive thing, and that's hot and that's slay. Like, go for it. Actually, before, like, I remember in another relationship, a big reason for it was because the other person had a really high sex drive. And, I like sex, but it's not, like, it's probably, like, number, like, 4 on the list of, like, when it comes to, like, connection and intimacy. And, and it was a big reason because I was like, I don't want to feel like I'm depriving you of something that's a really high, like, important need for you and it's not for me. And I don't want you to, like, I don't want to feel like I'm, like, the bucket that you need to be, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm the
person.
Yeah, like, I was like, I want you to be able to be, like, go and do what you need to do. And I don't want, it's more like selfishly.
And also, I don't want the pressure.
That's me. I don't want to feel the pressure because, like, my libido, because my mental health is so up and down.
Yeah. Or you don't want it to become like sex starts to be like a chore for you because you're like, oh, I've got to do it again.
Yeah.
And your relationship probably does become stronger when you know you have the ability to, like, go outside that. But what you have between you is, like, emotional or, you know, whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is E&M the future? Because Bumble Insights, 33% of single Australians think so.
Wow.
42% of Gen Z agree. What are you hearing and seeing in your social circles? As we said, you're in a bubble. You and I are both in bubbles. What's happening in your social circles? That's what I want to know.
Me as the sole representative.
Yeah.
The straight people in their 30s. The classically underrepresented group.
In our world, they are.
Yeah, tell us what's happening in your world.
Our world is as straight. We're like, oh.
Let me speak on behalf of the straight girlies.
Okay.
I also, to be fair, am in a bit of a bubble because I work for a dating app.
Yeah.
I'm actually not the best example of, like, your average, like, girly, straight girly. But it is something that I definitely think is getting spoken about more. But I think that it is a bit of a, like, stigma around, like, are you, like, sex party people or are you, like, you know, it's very sex-based in the way that I hear it spoken about. I think there's still a bit of a stigma or just a misunderstanding that, yeah, you've got to be really horny to do it or it's, like, a lot of admin. But I definitely think that the sort of straight couples I know that have experimented with it or actively participate in it, it's not open amongst most of their friends or family that they participate in that. It's, like, much more sort of behind closed doors.
Wow.
Maybe a few friends know. Some people don't tell any of their sort of friends or family.
Because it'll be the topic of the circles. If you're in a
because
circle,
you're, when
not
you're the only person doing something,
yeah, everyone's like,
it's a bit like sometimes
did
when
you
I'm.
Hear, blah, 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 blah,
yeah,
blah, blah,
yeah, yeah. Well, it's like.
Don't hear me, I love the gossip.
Blah, 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 blah.
Self-awareness. I would be like, did you hear?
Oh my God.
If I'm hanging out with my friends that are all in relationships and I'm the only single person, then it's like, tell us everything that you're doing. And it would, the same thing would be for, like, those couples. Be like, well, tell us about all the sex that you're having. And, like you said, maybe there's not that much sex. So I definitely think that I'm hearing about it more than I've ever heard about it. But I think that it's still something that, like, is kept more under wraps than in, like, queer communities.
Well, I can tell you from a therapeutic perspective, we are seeing it more and more in my clinic.
Yeah.
And one of my therapists, all her client load is purely dedicated to being ethically non-monogamous because that's what her PhD was in, that's what she's interested in. And she navigates it really well because there's a lot of people that are emailing saying, hey, I have started seeing someone who wants to be polyamorous and I just want to know more about that so that I can support them if we choose to go down this journey together and so I can make an informed choice for myself and what I want to do as well. And so I can do it right, you know, so that they don't have to teach me everything as well along the way, which is so... Oh, mature. And
I was going to say, yes.
Lovely. Should I pass on deep? No, I'm joking.
For real.
I cannot do that, but they're out there.
Send me their
DMs. Yeah, please.
I think that having grown up through, like, 90s and, like, early 2000s, like, sex education, there's definitely, like, the typical person in an open relationship that I think of is, like, that, like, really, like, hippie married couple that are, like, you know, just a bit out there and it's very sex-based, like they're swingers. So like they go to sex parties or they go and like do the whole like keys in the fishbowl kind of thing we were talking about before. What I think is like really different now is like people that don't necessarily fit that mold exploring it, but also exploring like the emotional, like you said, how to navigate this. Whereas I don't think much attention was ever given to how to do that before.
I also think young people are just like questioning things more, period.
Yeah.
They're being like, don't know about the way we did this.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if you guys know, but like the world is burning. So like, I don't care if my partner pashes someone on the dance floor because like the climate is fucked.
Yeah. Like I just think like a lot more like aware and a lot more like eyes open and being like, okay, like we've done all these things the same for so long and maybe they're not working.
Yeah. And also if you're Gen Z, you have been growing up during this like rising divorce rates.
Yeah,
you
true.
Know, all of these kind of things. So you're probably thinking, well, if relationships don't last forever and this like traditional thing that's mapped out for me doesn't actually exist, maybe there's like different ways of doing
it. Yeah.
So we like to wrap up every guest interview with a Bumble profile prompts question. Your question is, a non-negotiable for me is?
A non-negotiable, you got to have the similar values to me as a person. I need to be on the same page to someone in the way that they view the world. Essentially, my non-negotiable is, do you give a fuck about people? Can we swear on this?
Yeah, go for it.
Oh,
I hope so.
We just decided.
Sorry, are you ready to do that? My non-negotable is, do you care about people? Do you care about the world? Do you care about other people? And if you don't, then I'm not interested.
All right. Thank you so much for coming on. I feel like we have learned so much.
I don't know. I'm scared.
We could keep going for another
round. We've been told to wrap up. We're talking way too long because it's too interesting. But thank you so much for coming on and sharing so much wisdom, but also personal insight as well. You've been very generous and very vulnerable with us too.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so we have a question from the DMs from Maya or Maya.
Hey, Maya.
Maya. The question is, I need to know why guys match with you and then don't respond when you initiate a conversation. Do you think it's true that guys swipe right on every person in the queue and then pick and choose who they want to talk to after they get a response?
I am going to say, Maya, the answer to that doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't
don't
matter.
Don't hang on every person.
It doesn't matter if they're swiping on 100 people or 5 people or 10 people. Like,
honestly, like, just, also think about yourself. How many times have you sat on the couch and been like, oh, I should get out my Bumble? Like, I'm going to have a look and see who's in my area. And then you're like, oh, yeah, cute. Nah, not vibing. Yeah, okay, cool. And then you're just swiping. You're not actually looking at every single person that you're swiping on.
No, and also how many times have you like looked at your phone and been like, oh, I'll reply to that message in a minute. And then like 48 hours go by. It's just like that. So I think everyone has their own life going on that like has nothing to do with you. And like that's sometimes like a hard thing to like wrap your head around with dating that, but like you could send yourself crazy being like, why aren't these guys responding to me? Or what tricks are they playing? Or like, why aren't I getting it? But like, if you did magically get the answer to that question, like, is it going to help you? Probably not. Thinking about it from the perspective of like, how am I contributing to this in the sense of like, you know, we all have a level of like ownership to play in our problem. So am I swiping only on the same type of person over and over again who's not giving me what I want, not bringing the right energy? Mix it up a bit, like match with some different kinds of people, expand your age range, expand your distance range, just like mix up the type of person that you're going for. But ultimately, like the more you focus on like what's going wrong, like just focus on what you're putting out there and like what kind of energy like you're bringing, because why guys don't do what you want to is not a question any of us have the answer to.
Also, like, I think you need to put yourself in their shoes. Like, you know, you might get out Bumble, you might swipe on people, put it away, and then you go to work and you're coming home and you're like, oh, okay, I'll check and I'll see who's responded. And then you look and maybe you've got like 10 matches. Are you right then going to have the amount of energy needed to respond back to every single person? Probably not. No. And it's the same for them, right? Like just because you've initiated a conversation doesn't mean it's the last time you should chat to them. If they don't respond back, it's not an indicator that they're not interested. Maybe you just need to like bump them. If you bump them and then they don't respond, then give it a break.
Yeah, just don't put your energy into stressing about someone that's not giving you anything. And I'm going to go and assume that Maya is a hot girly, but also when you're on Bumble, it doesn't hurt to take a little second look at your profile because you could have, you know, 6 amazing photos, stunning, but if your profile doesn't really say anything about you, if people don't know how to start a conversation with you, if you've made the first move and sent the first message and it's just, hey, Andy. Yeah, Andy might not reply because he's got other messages or he's got a job or a life, family, but think like, okay, what have I got on my profile that Andy is going to want to, you know,
engage with
me about? Have I looked at his profile? Have I sent a personalized message? Because when someone approaches me with something that feels unique, I'm going to be more interested in that person because they're giving me like a strong energy. So
be the unicorn that you want people to look at. Like you probably are, I'll be honest with you, but you have to act in that way as well. So if you want people to be interested in you, you have to also be interesting in the way that you converse with them. Dating is not easy. It's very complex and people are the busiest that they've ever been right now.
Yeah, people have so much else going on in their life. And I also think that when you are talking about dating in the sense of like the people you've matched with on the app that you might have only just started talking to that you haven't been on a date with yet, people's obligations to each other are
zero
at that point.
They're not invested in you.
Yeah. And so it's like if you are already letting it affect you when the obligation and like what is going on between you is at level zero, you probably need to take a step back and be
spend
like,
spend time investing in yourself for a little
why
bit.
Why am I letting a person I don't know affect my mood or affect my approach to dating? Mm. You don't, this person's a stranger.
Unbothered, like, babe. You are unbothered.
Be unbothered.
You're living your best life. You're a unicorn. You're unbothered. So don't worry about it. We also wanted to thank everyone so much for listening and remember to hit the bell icon on Spotify for the podcast, leave a review, let us know what you think. And if you want to follow Kath, you can find them on social media at Kath Ebbs. Keep in the loop with us and send us a DM on Instagram at Bumble_Australia.
Thank you.
Ciao. Bye. La 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 la. Bye. This episode is brought to you by Bumble, which, might I add, has had the glow up to end all glow ups. But there's one new feature on the all new Bumble that we have to talk about, and that's opening moves. Bumble is all about empowering women to make the first move, but they also understand that initiating conversation can actually be a bit daunting. Enter opening moves. This new feature allows you to send an opening question, which can be something you've written yourself, like, what's the best dinner you have had this week? Or what's something you've never told another Bumble match? Or you can choose from one of Bumble's suggestions. Then just sit back and watch as your matches woo you with their replies. Make the first move on your own terms and a little more easily with the all new opening moves feature. Download the Bumble app today from the App Store or Google Play.